الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. இந்த ஆயத்து கரீமா அல்லாஹ் தபாரக வதஆல says ஷஹ்ரு ரமலான், the month of Ramadan. One aspect of reading it, that it is such a glorious, such a great month which has dawned upon you. And the greatness of it, that from the beginning of the year, that is Muharram, 8 months in advance, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala starts beautifying Jannat. Jannat is so beautiful. But every year Allah beautifies it for the coming of Ramadan. And throughout that whole period, Allah Ta'ala is preparing Jannat with all its ni'mat for the month of Ramadan. There are those buzurgs that 6 months after Ramadan, they would be crying to Allah Ta'ala for not having observed the Ramadan as it should be. And of course, each one of them observed it such a way that it is for us that we follow them. How beautifully and how wonderfully they had observed it. And the other 6 months, they start preparing for the next Ramadan. And their preparation, of course, is not material things, not food and clothes or anything like that, but that we can be more in the groove and be ready to accept all the great, great moments of Ramadan. Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the month of Rajab start making dua. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Let us reach this great and honorable month. The month of Rajab, the barakat appears to be namaz, which is such a great gift which Allah has given us. And Sha'ban, the highlight of Sha'ban is the 15th night of Sha'ban, which is Laylatul Bara'a, salvation, deliverance from Allah's punishment, from Jahannam, a cleanliness, a purification. That night Allah gave us, so we are fully ready for the month of Ramadan. We purify ourselves completely, and now we wait for the month of Ramadan, and in anticipation of this great month, we start keeping more rozas also. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, the most he fasted besides month of Ramadan, whole month, but the most besides that was the month of Sha'ban. And this also appears that the month of Sha'ban, one meaning of فَمَنْ وَجَدَ فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرِ فَلْيَصُمْ. The person who finds this month, that is with the conditions of Shariat, you are at home, you are healthy, etc., then keep the roza. The actual revelation of this ayat was that before rozas, like most of the laws of Allah, and this is also one great beauty of our deen and Allah's system, that Allah did not just make it suddenly for us, gradually, like the prohibition of liquor took place over a time. Many other things also, parda also, they were all groomed and trained, and then the final command of Allah Ta'ala came. So yeah, also at the beginning, it was optional to keep roza even without an excuse. If you didn't want to keep the roza, you could give your fidya for it. That was at the beginning, so getting the people ready for it. But then later, this ayat came, that now whoever finds the month must keep the roza. Now it's not that if you can excuse yourself, but still the ayat in front show that if you are on a safar or you are ill, then still you can give the fidya of it. But that permission and concession that was given, that even without excuse, if you don't want to keep the roza and you give the fidya, that's also fine. But now that was cancelled. And the other understanding of this ayat, that the month of Ramadan, the glory of it, the greatness of it is to honor it, and celebrate it by fasting. So this month must be celebrated by fasting. So we see also that the coming of Ramadan, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam started keeping lot of fasts in Shaban, all the time and much more in Shaban, the most in Shaban, in preparation for this great month, in preparation of the glorification and the celebration of this great, great month, that rosas were kept. From here also we learn that to celebrate something is not always by feasting, by eating. That is also there. Like you have a marriage, then you celebrate it by walima. And you have a child that is born in the family, you celebrate it by aqiqah. And many other things also. But we are taught here that celebration we should also do by fasting. Not always just by feasting, by fasting. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, when he got his citizenship of Saudi, and that was not the citizenship of a country like people going to various countries and they get their papers in order, they get their citizenship, they are happy. No, his happiness was that he was now going to be right in the neighborhood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great thing to be in the neighborhood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And where Allah gave him also a place. Now the Haram Sharif has been extended and that place where Hazrat was staying, that room, is now part of the Haram Sharif. But at that time, the door which was known as Babul Nisa, and on the side of Jannatul Baqi, Babi Jibreel is more in front, much more in front. But lower down, there was Babul Nisa. Just stepping out of that, crossing the road, and there on the side was the room, right in that neighborhood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so to celebrate it, Hazrat kept 40 days roza. That Allah gave me this great honor to be in the neighborhood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat fulfilled the rites fully, all his namazes in the haram, and not all his namazes in the haram, 1 hour, 1.5, 2 hours before Zuhr namaz, for example, before Asr namaz, Hazrat should be in the haram already. And how he appreciated it, the street sweepers who were from predominantly Pakistan, Bangladesh, they should come to Hazrat for du'as, to take du'as, sit in Hazrat's company. And Hazrat should cry and beg of them that you make du'a for me, that you have been honored with this position to clean the neighborhood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah has chosen you that you are the cleanest, not just of like municipal workers, but of the neighborhood, the surroundings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah has chosen you, people are very, very special people. So you make dua for me that Allah gives me my khatima on iman. Hazrat, what a position, how lot of khidmat of deen. He was the serpereist. He should oversee all the work of tabligh and da'wat in the madrasa Mazahirul Ulum, and his great contribution and work, the kitabs and the amount he taught deen. His whole life was fully in deen from morning to night, but he's crying that my mort must come on iman. So much he was concerned. We should also consider whether we have this worry. No matter what a person is, look at shaitan. He made so much ibadat of Allah Ta'ala that it is said that on the earth there isn't one span of hand. There's so much place where he did not make sajda. So much ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. He had so much knowledge that he knew the juziyat, the fine print of all the shariat of all the anbiya, alayhimus salatu wassalam. So much knowledge he had. And he had so much ma'rifat, recognition of Allah Ta'ala. That also he had, that he knew when Allah was so angry on him. At that time also, Allah's anger doesn't control Allah. There is no infial, the control of Allah's anger over Allah Ta'ala. At that time also, he made dua, Rabbi anzirni, oh Allah, give me respite, give me some more time. And he knew that in spite, when somebody is very angry, we all know at that time keep quiet. Don't come in the way of that person, just stay away. Until his anger cools, because in his anger he can do anything, he can say anything. So just stay away. But he knew, even in that condition, I can make dua to Allah. Allah is not controlled by his anger. Allah is in control of everything. Allah is not in control of his love for somebody. Allah is above that also. Allah is above everything. Allah is absolute, completely. Jalla Jalaluhu, Ta'ala Shanuhu. He is the most greatest. So our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that Shaitan, if he had made this dua at that time, instead of Rabbi Anzirni, give me respite, Rabbi Unzur Ilayya, have mercy on me, I made a mistake. Like Adam Ali Salatu Wasalam, he immediately said, Rabbana Zalamna Anfusana, we wronged ourselves, have mercy on us, forgive us, O Allah. But he chose that path. So he knew Allah so well also. But in spite of that, and so many years of ibadat, that he wasn't an angel, he's a jinn. He's the leader of the jinnat. But his ibadat was so much that he was now given position to live with the farishtas, with the angels. He lived with the angels, not with the jinnat. And his name also, Azazil, was on the scale of the Malaika, Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil. His name was also, now he was given that name of honor also. And so much ibadat also. But in spite of all this, Allah knew all along, he is rejected. And finally, when the time came, and he refused to make the sajda, which is actually refused to obey the command of Allah. When Allah's command was there, our logic and our thinking is one side. Allah's command is the greatest thing. At that time, not your love for anyone, not your hatred for anyone, nothing, not my logic, what I think is more better, but what that command is, you obey that command. And Allah's command, who is absolute in every way. All of us, we can make mistakes if we tell somebody under us who are working for us, we tell them do this. It could be a mistake, but by Allah there can be no mistake. So this, that he disobeyed Allah Ta'ala. And that was based on his pride that he had in him. So this pride is a killer disease. If we have this pride, it can manifest itself in different ways. Like if your blood, you got cancer in your blood, it will show up in your body in different ways. So he had this pride, and it showed he didn't obey the command of Allah. So it showed out in his pride. Pride was one thing which the shaitan had, and a khayrum minhu. I'm better than Adam alayhi salam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. You created me from fire, which was an indication to Allah, na'uzu billah, that Allah, don't you know, fire goes up and sand goes down. So I am better, I am one who goes up, and I must make sajda to one who is down. This is against logic, this pride of his, and so many other evils that he had in them. One was this pride also. Another was that he had this jealousy for Adam alayhi salam and his progeny. That they, because Adam alayhi salam asked for forgiveness, which is a great lesson for us to learn, and thereby he's going to Jannah. And we also, any mistake, as we read now, if we make a mistake, accept your mistake. Don't try and cover it up. You're making it worse. Once I was at Surat station very early to make a booking and before the queues. So there was somebody who had left his stool just outside by the station. So when the cleaner came to clean, he started cleaning it, sweeping it. So he's spreading that dirt. Instead of picking it up one time and it's out of the way and washing that place, he's sweeping it. Like we also, when we are sweeping, sometimes we sweep large areas and we're carrying the dirt, pushing the dirt everywhere. Pick up the dirt, a reasonable amount you have swept, and now the dirt is collected. Pick it up and take it out of the way. Take it out of your life. Don't spread it more. Hey, some people are of that nature, they spread all the dirt. Somebody has done something wrong, now hide it. Don't go and spread it. Don't go and speak to everyone about it. And also this, which the enemies who are the enemies of Islam in the name of Muslims and Muslim names on the internet in various forms. People express that they left Islam and they are proud about it. And they are talking about it. Many cases it is not even Muslims. These are just to make the Muslims bad. People speak about the sins they have committed, all the wrong they have done. All these things are to be hidden, not to be spread. So anyway, Adam Shaitan, he did not, he used his logic. And our logic cannot help us in anything whatsoever. Submitting to the will of Allah. And we make mistakes, admit our mistakes. I made a mistake, you made a mistake, you come out clean from it. And a person who humbles himself, admits his mistake, rafa'ahu Allah. Allah raises that person. And a person who doesn't want to admit his mistake, and he tries and cover it up, and one lie needs another 10 lies. And 10 lies need another 100 lies to cover it up. Whereas if you speak the truth, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, and if you have to pay for your mistake, you pay for it. But in most cases where you admit your mistake, even the fine is done away with. You don't have to pay, because you admitted your mistake, your fine also you don't have to pay. But where you want to cover it up, you are making things worse for yourself. So Shaitan had this pride in him also, and it is a killer disease. Then he had this jealousy also for Adam a.s. and his progeny, that they admitted their mistake, they did not cover it up, their father Adam a.s. and thereby he's gone to Jannah, and his progeny, if they follow in his way, then they will also go to Jannah. Then the third thing which ulama have written that Shaitan had was another very terrible disease, and that is freedom. That I don't want to be under anyone. I must be a free person. That what I do say and what I want, that must be done. I don't listen to anyone. And we think that freedom is a good thing. But when we haven't got even proper brains, and we haven't got proper means also, what are we going to do with our freedom? Our freedom, a person who hasn't got direction in life, and you leave him free, what is he going to do? On the other hand, a person who haven't got direction, and he follows somebody who knows the right path, and you follow that person, then you will reach your destination. Our example is like that person walking on the road, and he comes to crossroads. Char Rasta, where roads intersection on the road. 4 roads are crossing for different directions. He comes to the intersection and he doesn't know his road in front. Must I go straight in front to reach my destination? Must I turn right or must I turn left? He doesn't know which way to go. On the side there, he sees one person sleeping and another person sitting next to him who is awake. Now, who should he ask the road, the direction? The one who is sleeping or the one who is awake? Ji? The one who is awake. Ji, those who heard this before, they say, but he will ask the one who is awake. The one who is awake also doesn't know. And therefore, he is waiting for the one who is sleeping. When he gets up, I will ask him. So when we don't know even who to ask, we don't know directions also, then fas'alu ahla dhikr in kuntum la ta'alamun. Then ask ahla dhikr. And if we're going to see logically here also, it should be fas'alu ahla al-ilm. The people who know, ask them, they know. But Allah didn't say ahla ilm. Allah said ahla dhikr. And here also we learn that the people who have just got knowledge and don't have dhikr, and zikr, zakir ko mazkur tak puncha deta hai. Zikr makes the zakir, the one who makes zikr, reach mazkur, his objective, reach Allah Ta'ala. And he knows Allah Ta'ala. He doesn't only know the law of Allah, but he knows Allah himself also. And he knows he has got marifat of Allah Ta'ala. Shaitan also had that he knew when Allah was so angry, still, Allah's anger won't control him. So a person who has got this marifat, he will know in spite of all gunas. The person who killed 99 people, he know Allah will still forgive him also if he turns for forgiveness to Allah Ta'ala. The person who might have committed any guna, but you turn and even do you ask forgiveness of your gunas, and you can be in the worst guna, and you want to come out of it, the people of the world can say, he's a write-off. There is no chance. You are a drug addict, and even the rehab centers, they can't help you. And they also admit that we got zero rate of success. A person comes here for rehabilitation, he pays a huge amount of money, some time he spends, and it's not, and he now, they say, he's clean now. He's out of the habit. But it's hardly long, and he's back in his habit again. And even worse than before. And how many of the rehab centers, they are the main centers for drugs to be sold. Because they know we had to meet our customers different places. Now all our customers came to one place. And the way they know when to meet, how to make their plan, our brains don't work in that. How their brains work, though they are, and what also, that they are under the influence of this intoxicant. And so their brains don't work, they are under the influence of it. But see how their brains work. The people who have got strict security that nobody must come and sell drugs here, and nobody must bring drugs here, they bypass all that security. And they know how it works. It is just like the example we give. There are certain people throughout the world, laborers, workers. You tell them to do certain job and you stand on their head and tell them, do it like this. They still do it wrong. Till finally you have to say, these people got no brains. But when they want to steal from you, then you are forced to say, what brains they got. Just now you said, these people got no brains. Now you say, how their brains work. That our brains don't work like that. So the same way the drug addicts and all of them also. So the answer is that even they must know that we have to turn to Allah. And they know it. And it's just that they are not doing it. When such a case came to Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, he said that, tell him to use that potential which Allah has given in him. And everyone has got the potential to stay away from all sin. If we did not have it, and Allah commanded us to do it, He's telling us to do something which is beyond our capability. And that is termed as zulm. And Allah is completely free of all zulm. Everyone, whatever, if I say I can't control my anger, when I become angry, then I just can't control, you are lying. And a simple explanation of that, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to give. A person is so angry with his wife. And he says at that time, I'm going to make mincemeat out of you. You'll see not a drop of blood will be left of you when I'm finished with you. He's so angry. And in that heat of his anger, there is a knock on the door. When he peeps from the peephole to see, he sees it's his two brothers-in-law. And both of them are in the military. And they are with their military uniform also. And they got their guns also with them. Now suddenly, his anger just is not even thin air. There is no, it's not even gone in thin air. There is no existence of this. And now he becomes a slave of his wife. And he begs her. He says, you know, all these things happen. A person does get angry. Just on the spur of the moment, just forget it all. When he saw his two brothers-in-law. So he had the potential. If the brothers-in-law did not come, he should not use that potential. If we don't see the qudrat of Allah, we don't use that potential. For our anger, for our lust, my eyes are not under control. I just can't control it. I'm such a lover of beauty. And I just admire beauty. When I see beauty, nothing can stop me. Then I just have to look. And even all the haram, and that is not beauty, that is junk. All the junk you see. First of all, you made yourself stupid calling junk beauty. What is filthy, what is on the road, and what is for everyone to enjoy. It's not exclusive for you. Your beauty is your wife. She's exclusive for you. And if you are a human being, you are not only Muslims, even non-Muslims, not long in history, they also kept their woman in parda. They also kept their woman at home. They should not allow them to go out. It's unfortunate we have to take the name, but Hillary Clinton, the wife of Bill Clinton, she wrote a book, and in there she writes, one of our biggest mistakes we have made is to take the woman out of the home. And it is an irreversible thing, she says. We can't bring them back to the home. She said the place of a woman is in the home. And how many others, not long ago, in the early 19, the king of Austria, that his wife was also kept in parda. They were not Muslims. So a person who's got his right sense of brain, he does the beauty which Allah gave him, which Allah chose for him, which is exclusive for him, that he looks after it. And he keeps her at home. And if for necessity, then with all the necessary dressing, how she should be, when she has to go out, how she should go out. So anyway, so this freedom which is in a person, that he wants freedom, which Shaitan hate also, that he doesn't want to be subjected by anyone. I must do as I feel like. And this is one of the prime causes of many of our youngsters, boys, girls, elderly people, not obeying Allah. I must do what I want to. Peshawar is a place in Pakistan, and which is known for its conservativeness. More they observe deen, they are very staunch. But not long ago, very recently, the woman had a march. Ke apna badan apni marzi. My body, I do what I want to. Nobody must tell me. So this freedom which is being, a poison which is being put into them, it isn't that they have got it by nature. By nature, they are, they left parda. They left that they must be somebody who guides them. They love that we mustn't be bold, we mustn't be open, we must be under somebody. So that is a great quality. So a person who doesn't know the direction, that person, freedom for that person when he doesn't know what to do, what is he going to do? If he's guided by somebody and he listens and he subjects himself to a guide, if we subject ourselves to our parents who are righteous and on the right path, to our asatiza, who have got the right mizaj of deen, and they understand deen. And going on, when we subject to ourselves to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person doesn't have to use his brain. Once you gave your hand in the hand of such a leader, now you don't have to worry. You just follow. It is such, like Hazrat Maulana Shah, Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi, explained that some people feel that we don't want to be led by anyone. We don't want to become a murid of anyone. I got Quran and Hadith. I can understand. I've got my brain. I can understand what I want to do. So such a person, he comes to the railway station in Delhi, for example, and he wants to go to Bombay, about 1,000 kilometers away. And when he gets to the station, he got late there. The train was just about moving. And by then, slowly the train moves at the beginning, afterwards it picks up speed. And he's a person, he says, that I just live in first class. And all the first class coaches have moved away already. And I don't go in third class. I got nothing to do with third class. And the coach which is in front of him is a third class coach. So he doesn't want to go in third class, he'll stay all the time in Delhi. He won't reach Bombay. But if he just humbled himself and said, I'll jump in the third class coach, where the first class is going to reach, he'll also reach there. Where the engine is going to reach, he's also going to reach there. So if we feel, I want to be free, I don't want to listen to anyone, we'll just remain on the station and our train to Jannah will go away. And the third class coach also, even if it is such a coach, that the seats are making sounds all the time. They're all squeaking and sounds of the fans. If they are on, they don't go off. And if they are off, they don't go on. The windows, if they are open, they don't close. And if they are closed, they don't open. But in such a coach, which is dirty also, but you sit there, you will reach where the engine reaches. So if we learn, and this is also that pride in us, that there is nobody like us who can lead us today. All those people are gone in the cupboard. So you are that great person left in the world, and where all those who could lead you are gone 1,000 years ago, 100 years ago, 500 years ago. So now there is nobody in your eyes who can lead you. That's a great sign of our pride also. So anyway, so we should submit to somebody and not have this freedom. We don't know who to ask also. And yet we think we are very clever. So anyway, this is that great month Allah has given us if we submit ourselves to Allah and His command. And Allah we cannot see, and the commands of Allah we don't know. And Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed 1500 years ago, roughly 1400 and a half hundred years ago already. Who are we going to see? And Allah, when Allah commanded, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullah, O people of Iman. So there are people of Iman. And ittaqullah, taqwa is possible for you. And how to get it? One simple way, Allah said, Kunu ma'as-sadiqeen, be with the truthful people. And when Allah gave this command, it was impossible that Allah Ta'ala gave a command which cannot be fulfilled. Allah said, be with the sadiqeen, and there are no sadiqeen alive. As long as the Quran Sharif is there, and that will be till Qiyamah, so sadiqeen will be there. It's a different thing if we can't see them. If I am so blind that I can't see the sadiqeen, but they are there, and Allah will keep them there. Otherwise, Allah should not have given the command to be with them. So we should just follow them. So anyway, in this great month, with all its great, great qualities, Allah, to honor the month, Allah said, Fal yasum, keep the rozas of the month, to celebrate the greatness of this month. And one of the greatness of this month is Shahrul Ramadan, Alladhi Unzila Fihi Al-Qur'an, that the Qur'an Sharif was revealed in this month. And as of ulama have stated, that all the heavenly scriptures came in this month. This month is so blessed, that this is the month that Allah chose to send all His scriptures. This is the month which Allah made, that it is befitting for this month to receive all the scriptures. The Quran Sharif was revealed in this month also. It was revealed, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, in the night of power. And this night of power, most common view, most famous, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. It was revealed on this night. It was revealed in the last 10 nights. And this great kitab, this which Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullah alayhi said, that it is a 30 page love letter which Allah has sent to us here. And this love letter, one is a lover, a man sends to his beloved, is to the lady, or a lady sends to her beloved. But this love letter is like from the parents to their children. Love letters and love talks between husband and wife, between lovers, is usually sweet nothings. Lot of words but mean nothing. They are just empty words which they speak with one another. But what a father will tell his son, that has got lot of meaning in it. So this is the love letter of Allah to His makhluk. You send your son to a foreign country, or your daughter to a foreign country to go and study, where there are lot of fitnas and lot of evils also. Every type of evil is prevalent there. And so you're guiding them all the time. And how you send that in today's zamana, you will email regularly, you will WhatsApp regularly, and you will explain to them, Allah Ta'ala sent a 30 supara, over around about normal Quran size, what we use, about 800 pages, Allah sent, and all for our guidance here. So that is that love letter, how much Allah has got our welfare at heart to guide us. And the Quran Sharif is the answer to every question that we have. The Quran Sharif is the solution to every problem that we have. The Quran Sharif is the way that shows us our complete success. a complete and perfect success, and every problem, every difficulty we have, the Quran will show a way out for us. One lady, not very long ago, in this COVID time, who made the Quran her guide, and she kept a Quran Sharif, like for example, one was in the kitchen also. A lady came to visit her, her friend or somebody, and saw the Quran Sharif is soiled with all like oil marks, water marks, because she's referring it to it all the time. One Quran Sharif she kept at her bedside also. And one Quran Sharif she kept in the lounge, and one in the garden also. Everywhere. So when she saw, and when she now has so many Quran Sharifs, and her doing her daily chores and tasks, there isn't outwardly that respect shown to the Quran. Sometimes her back also is towards the Quran Sharif. So that lady felt a bit uneasy that she's not respecting the Quran. And then she may notice, so she says that, I've got such a busy schedule that I don't get the time to sit one time at one place and to read the Quran Sharif. But I have found every solution of mine to every problem in the Quran Sharif. And every question of mine, the answer I found in the Quran Sharif. So whenever I'm faced with a thing, and our mind is working all the time, and if you can be cooking as a lady or anyone else, but your mind can be where and where it is. You're a carpenter and you are working with your thing, but your mind is working somewhere else. You're a mechanic and you are under the car and you are fixing the car, but your mind is somewhere else. So all questions that come, when I want answers, I just go to the Quran. So I need a Quran Sharif everywhere. And I've got questions all the time. And the Quran Sharif answers my questions. One thing she says, for example, that when you have got a fight with somebody, then what is the answer to that? We will think of different things. She says, I go to the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif tells me, forgive, overlook. So when I did that, when family feuds we had, and it was for so many years, but I found the Quran Sharif told me, forgive and overlook. I did that. I made amal. And the other thing is, the solutions are there. We ask also, and in fact, before asking, we know the solution, but we don't want to apply it. One, our pride does not allow it. To forgive somebody and to overlook, no, I'm a show my point. I will show who I am. You will know who I am. And I will show you my true colors and you'll see what I can do. That the Quran doesn't teach that route. The Quran teaches to forgive. So she forgave those people. When she forgave them, they came to the house. Now they were friends now. And there are more details, much more things. But just one little aspect. Her husband, in this COVID, lost his job also. And now he had to pay his rental. They were ordinary people, not wealthy people. He had to put food on the table. He had to pay all the utility bills. And now he's got no income whatsoever. Difficulty. So in the process, while they were talking, and she did what she had to do to forgive them. And when they were talking, it came about that the husband has lost his job, etc. So one of their family told, we at our company have got a perfect job for this person, where he'll fit in hand in glove. And his salary will be 3 times what he's getting here. And besides all the perks and the extras he's going to get. So the Quran has got the solution to every problem. Just take it from the Quran. That lady then said that I thought that I respect the Quran, but my respect was only the outward respect. But the respect of reality, that I had no idea to obey the Quran, to find my solutions to my problems. For us, outwardly also respect the Quran. And mainly the spirit of the Quran, bring that into our lives. Not only that we are reading very well, and we are making lot of khatams also, but the teachings of the Quran, we don't pay any attention to them. And we know also of them, but we don't bring them into our lives. Our pride does not allow us that I must say what the teachings are there. And in fact, I give bayan to other people about it. But for myself, I don't practice on it. And you can get the best medicine from the doctor, but till you don't drink it yourself, and you tell all other people, this home remedy is very good, that home remedy is very good, just do this, just do that. But till you don't do it yourself, you won't get the benefit. You have to apply it in your life. And for that, one major thing is our the nafs is the main thing. And this pride which is in the nafs. And that we don't want to humble ourselves. And we don't want to open our hearts to the truth. We know it is the truth. What he's telling me is right. I know. But how can I accept it? Now, I'm a very big person. I'm very superior. I can't accept what they say. And whoever tells you the truth, whether it's your wife, whether it's your children, whether it is ordinary people, whoever tells you the truth, accept it. One scientist who was very much involved in his science and his laboratory, with his experiments, etc. He had a cat which was a pet of his, and he loved this cat. And when the cat gave kittens and they wanted to come in, then every time the cat would meow at the door. So he had to leave all his work and go and open the door. And it's an animal, it's a cat. After 2 seconds, 2 minutes, it wants to go out again. And he loved this cat. So then again he has to leave all his work and go and open for it. Sometimes repeatedly this is happening. So he called the carpenter. He is a rocket scientist. And he called the carpenter, who is a man down or down on the ground, an ordinary person. So he told him, make a hole for me in the door where the cat can come in and go out. And make another small hole where the kittens can come in and go out. The carpenter said that why you need 2 holes? The same hole even the kittens can use. You don't need a big hole for the cat and a mother and a small hole for the kitten. 1 hole is enough for both. So where the rocket scientist mind couldn't reach, the man who's on the ground, he understood it straight away. So sometimes all this, that our too many degrees that we have, and too much that we are so clever and we know so much, but it blocks us from the ordinary. And many such people can't see ordinary things. Simple, straightforward things which ordinary people can see, but they don't see this. So anyway, the Quran Sharif is the solution. We just submit to the Quran wholeheartedly. And one of the miracles of the Quran Sharif is, even if you don't know Arabic, you don't understand, just your mere recitation of the Quran, Allah will put it directly into your heart, what the teachings of the Quran are. And Allah will give you the tawfiq of practicing also. You read sincerely the Quran Sharif, what the Quran Sharif says right at the beginning, Hudal linnas. It is a guidance for all people. Whether you are a carpenter, whether you are the prime minister, whether you are head of department, whether you are a street sweeper, the tea maker, it is Hudal linnas. You read it with that intention. Whether you understand the Arabic or you don't understand, Allah will put it. For the ulama who understand, it will come via their knowledge. And for those who don't understand, Allah will put it directly in their heart. And they will know. They won't be able to explain to other people why this is wrong, why we should not do it this way. But Allah will put, they will know this is the right thing. And many things which the ulama won't understand, but those who read the Quran Sharif daily, they will understand. Whether it was this COVID now or whatever else, those who had contact with Quran Sharif, their whole outlook was different. And whether it was ulama who had knowledge also, but they had no contact with Quran Sharif as such, their outlook was different. Whose outlook was that the first thing they will listen to is what the atheists have got to say, what the scientists have got to say, what the government has got to say. They gave preference to that, their whole outlook was different. And those who listen to Quran Sharif, what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have got to say, they looked at it in a different way. So this is the Quran Sharif, that great kitab. We are commanded to make it our kafan, especially in the month of Ramadan, to read Quran and read Quran and read Quran. We should try and read as much as possible. Shah Abdul Qadir Raipuri rahmatullah alayh, in his Khanqah and by him, there was nothing else but Quran Sharif. from morning to night, only recitation of Quran Sharif. He did no other work also. His eating was to a very bare minimum, just a little few cups of that finjan, that small cups of tea, and that also Chai Suleimani, the black tea. That's all he had, but just Quran Sharif all the time. And in person, as we read now and we heard, that these people, they are the family of Allah Ta'ala. Those people, Ahlul Quran, are Ahlullah. And they were khasatuhu. And they are the very special family of Allah. Allah make that we make the Quran Sharif our food in this month. The Quran Sharif becomes our walking, becomes our talking, becomes our sleeping, becomes our sitting. Quran Sharif be there all the time. We make it our guide, and we don't say it's our guide, we make it our guide. We don't say I follow the Quran, but we follow our desires. Follow the Quran, what the Quran Sharif says. And just read it with sincerity and see the teachings of the Quran come into our lives. May Allah make it that we make this Quran Sharif and where this month we honor it with roza and we beautify it and fortify it and protect it with the Quran Sharif. This great kitab Allah has given us. Allah give us all tawfiq. To engage ourselves in du'as now and turn to Allah Ta'ala for all the values that not what I understand. Allah, you put it in my heart, the true values of this month, the true values of life. Let me not think that I can think and I'll shock out my way. I don't even know who to ask in order to go in the right direction.